Talking about the wilderness season, and we were talking about how that in life there are seasons that we will go through, and that if we understand that, and that if we realize that, we can cooperate with the season. You know, it's real important to be able to identify the characteristics of a given season in our life, so that we know how to continue to walk and to be led by the Spirit in our life. And, you know, no matter what the season is, you know, we don't have to dread any season in life. We don't have to dread any season in life. We're talking about the wilderness season. We can embrace every season of life. Every season of life that God brings us into is a season that we need. And it's a season that is producing in our lives. And so you think about that. This is what David said. I will bless the Lord in some seasons. Is that what he said? I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord in every season. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So we can embrace the season. We can find joy in the season. If the pruning snips are out, we can praise God because we trust the vine dresser, don't we? We trust him. We get excited about the things that he's doing in our life. Oop, that hurt. That needed to go. Thank you, Jesus, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. Oh, it's a dry time. Father, I thank you that my roots are going down deeper. I rejoice that my roots are going down deeper. I thank you that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is producing for me an eternal and far more weightier glory in Jesus' name. So we can rejoice. We do not dread seasons. We do not dread. If we dread seasons, it's because we don't have truth. We do not dread seasons. We rejoice. We choose to rejoice. Amen. So we find joy in every season. So we're talking about the wilderness season, and we were looking at the Israelites who God had called out, delivered out of Egypt, and he was in the process of bringing them into the promise, which is a picture, which is a metaphor of the Christian life. And it happens over and over and over again in our lives. See, the Christian life is a fight for territory. The Christian life is a fight for territory. It's allowing God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to ever be expanding. That the borders of the kingdom, which is on the inside of us, that the borders... I didn't... Huh? Did you just want to come say hi to me? Okay. I thought she was missing me already. I'm just joking. I love my wife. I didn't dismiss the kiddos. I'm so sorry. All of our kids. They're so good. They were sitting so quietly. I didn't even know they were in here. Do you love our kids? You guys going back to children's church, and y'all are going to have a great time back there tonight. Because Jesus loves you. Amen. All right. What were we talking about? The wilderness. The wilderness is a place of preparation. God took the Israelites through the wilderness on purpose for a purpose. He allows us to go through a season of preparation, number one. A season of preparation because there will be things that happen in the wilderness season that cannot happen in other seasons. Every season produces something in our lives that can't be produced in another season. And we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And the thing about it is we've got to get on board with what he's doing. We've got to get on board with it. Not kick against the pricks, right? Not kick. Has anybody been guilty of kicking against the pricks? We don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be rebellious. We don't want to be anything but cooperative with the hand of the master, because he knows what's best for us, and he's taking us on a journey, and he doesn't start things that he doesn't intend to complete. And the fault is never on his shoulders. The fault's always on our shoulders if something's not coming to pass. And so we can trust God with every season. Say, I trust God with every season. I trust God in the season that I'm in Jesus' name. So there's the season, the wilderness season is a season of preparation. Number two, the wilderness season is often a place of isolation. It's often a place that's lonely. It's often a place where we seem to be forgotten by everyone else. And many times in the wilderness season, we actually, even though we may not tell the pastor or our best friend, we often may feel deep on the inside that God has forgotten us. Let's be real. How many of you in your walk with the Lord have at times thought, well, I guess God's just forgotten about this? But the wilderness season is often a place of isolation because there's purpose in isolation. Remember when Samuel went to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king? Every son was present in the house but one. David didn't even get an invitation, but the plan of God was for him to be the king. But he was in isolation. Even in isolation, God was working behind the scenes to bring the anointing and the promise to pass in his life, even though he didn't know it. Everything around him screamed to him that it's not going to happen. My father's forgotten about me. My brothers don't care anything about me. God has forgotten me. I'm just out here with the sheep and I'm in the wilderness. I didn't even get an invitation. But how many of you know God had purpose in what he was doing? Isolation. It says, Samuel asked, are all these the sons that you have? They're still the youngest. 1 Samuel 16:11. Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep. So many times the devil wants to tell us that what we're doing right now is insignificant. That it doesn't really matter. You're out here. They're getting all the glory. What they're doing matters. Their giftings. Blah, blah, blah. How many of you know there is no more powerful scripture than it says it's unwise to compare yourselves to other people. We're not in the same seasons. We're not in the same journey. We're not believing for the same things. We're not equipped with the same giftings. We're totally different people. And when the enemy, and it's so easy to do, to get your head caught just a little bit and then begin to compare your situation with somebody else's situation. And how many of you know the scripture says that it's unwise to do that? So we can't compare ourselves to anyone else. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. See, the wilderness is a place of isolation because it gives God the opportunity to strip things out of our lives that wouldn't go any other way. See, in the wilderness, in the place of isolation, God will begin to take things. He is taking things away from us that we have trusted in, other things that we have trusted in besides him. And it's easy to do, even in our Christianese, is to say that we're trusting in the Lord, but in reality, we're trusting in other things. But when we're isolated and those things are taken away from us, then we have to turn to the Lord. People that we have relied on. Those things are taken away. Dreams taken away that have not originated with him. It's often when we are isolated from the things of this world that we can come to see that God alone is our life. I don't know if you had this experience, but I had this experience in my life. And this had to do with the whole needing someone in my life and the dating years and leading up to marriage and all of that. And it's like what happens oftentimes is God will bring us into a single season. He'll bring us into an alone season because there's things that he needs to do in our life before he puts us with somebody else because we'll be so much better off. But so many times what happens is we're so hung up on having to have somebody beside us in those years. I got to have somebody. So when this person disappears, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work on me in a season of isolation, then I've got to pull somebody else in and put them right there. So it can be a person, it can be things, it can be hobbies, it can be whatever. But when we're in a wilderness season, let the isolation have its work. Because what God is trying to do is strip away the things that don't matter and bring us to the things that really matter. We can, Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, even in those times where it seems like the things are passing us by. It seems like that God's left me behind, that time is running out, that opportunities are passing me by. How many of you know that we can trust God in times of isolation? It's a necessary part of our journey. Because often when things go quiet, we find ourselves alone. We can't stand it and we run to something else. And all the while God is saying, that is a place that is reserved for me. And until you can get me in that place in your life, you're not going to move out of this season. So we stay in a season, in a wilderness season so many times because we can't stand to be alone. But how many of you know that that if we have God, we have all we need? Now, we can say that, but we don't experience that until we're in that season and it actually becomes a part of our life. See, it was in the place of isolation that David learned some things that he would not have learned if he would have been around everybody else and everything else. He learned to worship in the isolation. He learned to commune deeply with God. He learned to trust in only God. He learned to war. He learned to play the harp. He learned things in that wilderness season that he was only going to get when he was out there on the side of that pasture with just him and the sheep. Because God wants to prove to us that truly he is all that we need. Listen to one of the many beautiful verses that David penned while he was alone with God. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. It's in your notes. It says, "My soul..." I think it is. If it's not, it's on the screen. "My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times." How many of you know David learned some things in the wilderness season, and God wants to teach us as well? Number three, oftentimes the wilderness season can be a place of frustration. Any Christians in here ever get frustrated? Exodus 13, 17, and 18. This is just so, it's kind of almost humorous, but it wasn't us, but it is us. "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter." Yeah, it was a shorter route, you know, recomputing, recalculating. God did not lead them on the shorter route. "For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt." Verse 18, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. How many of you know that God knows what's best for us? We say that, but do we really believe that God knows what's best for us? You know, it's kind of like if we were on a crowded street in downtown New York City and we're standing on the corner of a block. We can see about from here to there. That's about all we can see. And in our short-sightedness and in our obstructed view, we think we know which way to go. But how many of you know he's on top of the Empire State Building? And he has a better view than we'll ever have. And he has understanding more than we could ever have. And it says that God did not take the shortcut. He took them on the necessary route. Because he knew on the shortcut that they were going to face things they weren't ready to face. And he said they're going to face a battle that they're not prepared for that would turn them back. So I'm going to take them the way that they need to go, not the way that they want to go. How many of you know that there are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God to get to the promised land? There are no shortcuts to obtaining our inheritance or attaining God's promise in our lives. See, God did not lead them on the route that was shorter. He led them on the route that was necessary. And that's what God does for us. And we have to come to a place where we can find solace in that. And we can be at peace with that. And we can trust him in that. On a daily basis, when we get up and it doesn't make any sense to us. And I don't understand the timeline. And I don't understand where God has taken me. And it doesn't look right to me. We can say, God, I believe that you are taking me on the route that I need to go. How many know if we allow ourselves to become frustrated in the season, we're only going to make it more difficult? Because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. He's the best cardiologist that there's ever been. He's working on our heart. At our very core, he's working on our heart. It may very well be that he took us on this route because he needed to work more on our heart. This is a quote. I didn't write down who it was from, but it says this: "Time is no object with God. Let me know, God is not as time conscious as we are. Time is not an object with God. There is therefore no point in chafing under the discipline of the training years or in endeavoring to take a shortcut, because it will inevitably prove to be a cul-de-sac. Anytime we try to shortcut God's will and His path, here's how we come back to this. Okay, if we truly say we want the will of God in our life and we detour, how many of you know that we're always going to have to come back to that place? We're always going to have to come back to that place. So shortcuts are never something that we should pursue. Proverbs 4:23 says that we're to keep our heart right. Keep our heart with all diligence. Do not become frustrated in the wilderness season. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We have to be extremely careful about this season, that we don't allow frustration to set in our lives. Because when frustration sets in, it begins to birth other fruit. And what are some of the other fruits that frustration begins to birth in our life? This thing right here is probably one of the first things to start participating. It starts moving up and down. Things start coming out of it that shouldn't be coming out of it. Well, I just don't understand this. Well, I just wish God... Well, doesn't God know what's going on? And we just begin to murmur, and we begin to complain, and we begin to criticize. And how many of you know that that is just exposing a heart that is full of frustration? And it extends the journey. Let me say this right here. We will never be prepared for where God wants to take us until we are at peace where God currently has us. Let me say that again. We will never be prepared for where God wants to take us until we are at peace with where God currently has us. We have to embrace this place. We have to be willing to say that, God, I trust you. I am at peace with you being the shepherd and me being the sheep. And I will listen to your voice and I will follow your voice. And I am going to relentlessly tune out any other voice that is not your voice. I'm not going to give it place in my mind. I'm not going to entertain it in my heart. But God, I'm going to be a sheep. And I'm going to meditate your word day and night. And I'm going to trust only in you. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to pull me into frustration and begin to bear the fruit of the flesh. Because when we do that, how many of you know God got pretty bothered by the children of Israel when a good father was doing what was the best for his children, and they begin to point the finger at God? And how many of you know that's not a good thing? But we're all guilty of it at times. We have to make a stand against that, and we have to make a determination that we're going to be at peace with where God has us, so that we will be prepared for where God is going to take us, in Jesus' name. Number four, the wilderness is also a place of confrontation. Most of us, most people, don't like confrontation. Many things in our life we would just rather not deal with. Anybody follow what I'm saying? Anybody like that? You just rather just push it to the side, not deal with it. Just change the subject. Okay. Just ignore it. Just move on. Now, some people are geared for confrontation, but not everybody. But many times we don't want to deal with things. But that's one of the main purposes of the wilderness season in our life, is because there are some things in our life that have to be confronted if we're going to overcome and get to the promised land. Two particular areas, letter A in your notes, is this. God will make sure that we are confronted with me. God's going to make sure we're confronted with ourselves. He's going to put a big old mirror right up in front of me so that I can see me. Things that we've long ignored, things that we've tried to forget, must be confronted and they must be resolved. The Holy Spirit will deal with things in our life, and we've got to quit quenching the Spirit. We've got to quit pushing those things to the side. How many of you know if the Holy Spirit brings up something that doesn't seem important to me at the moment, that it's the most important thing? If the Holy Spirit brings up something to me, how many of you know the Holy Spirit, He moves us and He directs us and He speaks to us. And we have to take that and we have to honor it and we have to value it and we have to follow it. But the Holy Spirit will bring things up that we have not dealt with in our lives, or we have not seen in our life. See, for Moses to go back to Egypt and fulfill God's purposes for his life, there were many things that Moses had to confront before he could do it. He had to confront, number one, his past failures. How many of you know he messed it up big time the first time around? Oh, doesn't that make you feel good? I like to look at all the mess ups of the big people of God. Gives me hope. You too? You know, the Holy Spirit could have edited all that out of the Bible, but he did not. He put it on full display for us to see. Moses was called to be the deliverer of the children of Israel, and he blew it. And then he was on the backside of the desert, and it was in that wilderness season that he had to confront his past failures. The wrong that he had done, the mistakes that he had made, the mess that he had created. It was a season where he had to confront those things. To go forward, God had to take him back. To confront some things from his past. And we've got to be willing and understand that sometimes we're not moving forward because we haven't been willing to go back. And there are some things that we have to confront if we're ever going to move forward. So he had to face his past mistakes, but he also had to face his present fears. Moses did not see himself as able to do what God was calling him to do. Do you fit in that boat? He had fears in his life. And for him to go back and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he was going to have to confront those things. He didn't see himself as able to enter Pharaoh's court, to be able to speak to the ruler of the known world at that time, to be able to lead the children of Israel, 3 million plus people, out of bondage and into the promised land. He was blinded by fear and a wrong perspective. And God said that in this season, you are going to confront your fear. And you are going to confront the things that are obstacles that are keeping you from doing what I'm calling you to do. See, God's calling us in this season to surrender it all to him. It's an opportunity for us to confront ourselves and to overcome in the name of Jesus. Listen just real quickly at how Moses responded. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. I don't know that this is in your notes, but this is where Moses was at. Moses answered and said to God, but suppose they won't believe, I want you to follow this. Suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not a good speaker. I never have been. I am not now. Even after you have spoken to me, I'm clumsy with words. How many of you know God was having Moses confront me, me, me? There were so many things in him that were standing between him and the fulfillment of God's promise in his life. He had to confront those things. How many of you know that we can trust the Holy Spirit to guide us through confronting things that are painful, things that are broken, things that are bound up? How many of you know the Holy Spirit's able to handle those things? We just got to be willing to participate. Letter B, real quickly, there's also an enemy that must be confronted and overcome. There is an enemy in any land where there is a promise. There will always be an enemy to overcome in any promised land. And I quoted this scripture this morning, but Matthew 4:1, the scripture says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, or that word there in the Greek means tested by the devil. How many of you know that there is an enemy that has to be overcome? There is a demonic opposition to the promise and destiny of God in our lives. The devil does not want us to see the fulfillment of the plans and purposes that God has for our lives. That's not new news to you, but it is a reminder that we have to know that there will be an enemy that we have to confront. And how many of you know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? But ignoring him and hoping that he goes away, and when powers of darkness rise up, we have to deal with them in the appropriate way. We've been given dominion, and we've been given authority, and we've been given the name of Jesus, and we have to make a stand, and we have to talk to our enemy, and we have to tell him what to do. And guess what? Because of the name of Jesus, he has to do what we tell him to do. If we are going to go into our promised land, we have got to overcome our enemy. In order for Jesus to have a public ministry, he would need to have a private victory. Let me say that again. Before Jesus had a public ministry, he had to have a private victory. The goal of the wilderness is not to destroy us. It's to destroy our enemy and our opposition. In the wilderness, it's an exciting time. And we're not there to be overcome, but to overcome. We are there to overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus confronted and defeated the devil privately in the wilderness before he ever began to do it publicly. We have to learn how to win in the wilderness. We have to learn how to win with just me and God. We have to learn how to win without any props. We have to learn how to win with Jesus. We confront the enemy and we overcome the enemy. How many of you know that it was in the wilderness that David learned how to beat the bear, how to beat the lion? He had personal, private victories before he ever had the opportunity to face Goliath on a public platform. In the wilderness, he learned how to confront and win. Number five, real quickly, ready to close. The wilderness is also a place of communication. The wilderness is a place of communication. How many of you know that God shows up in the wilderness? God shows up in the wilderness. Listen to this verse out of Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, I will lead her. This is such a powerful scripture. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her there. How many of you know God wants to speak to us? He wants to speak to us. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. And it's in that place of isolation. It's in that private place. It's in that place where everything else in our life is pulled away and stripped away, that the voice of God will come to us. And how many of you know that we only need one word from God? We only need one word from God. Remember when Moses was out there, God was preparing him in the wilderness season. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, he was just doing the mundane. He was just getting up every morning and punching the clock. He was taking his shepherd's staff and he was taking his bag. And he was going out there and he was just leading those sheep around all day, every day. And when he was doing that, the scripture says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert or the wilderness, the far side of the wilderness. You ever feel like you've been on the far side of the wilderness? Moses was on the far side of the wilderness and he came to Horeb, a place to meet God, the mountain of God. It says, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over and I'm going to see this strange sight while the bush does not burn up. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Where? On the far side of the wilderness. On the far side of the wilderness. God wants to speak tenderly to us in the wilderness. If you find yourself in a wilderness season, look for the voice of God. Look for the voice of God. Look for the voice of God, because when the voice of God comes, it transforms everything. He said, look, there's sheep stuff all over the ground and it's dry and it's dirty and all that. But what he said was this, this wilderness is holy ground. He said, take off your shoes. It's holy ground. It's holy ground because this is where I have called you to be in this season. It's holy ground because this is where I'm doing a work in your life that could not be done anywhere else. This is holy ground because I meet with you here. Number six. Lastly. The wilderness is a place of transformation. It is a place of transformation. The wilderness was never intended to ruin us, but to refine us. The wilderness season, God didn't allow it in our life or bring us to it in our life so that it could ruin us. But he certainly wants to refine us. Amen. We need to be refined. The impurities, the things that are not like him. The things that stand between us and the promise. How many of you know God sees everything that stands between us and what He wants to do to fulfill His promises in our life. And He looks at us and He says, I want to take that away. And I want to refine that. And I want to change that. I want to winnow that out of your life. I want to put that in. You're missing this piece. I need to put that in. The wilderness is a place of transformation. We can lift up our hands on the far side of the wilderness and we can bless the Lord because He is the master potter and He is transforming us by His compassion and by His love and by His grace. He's refining us like only He can do because He wants to fashion us into a container that can hold His promise. He wants to fashion us into a container that can withhold the blessing of the promised land. He doesn't want us to be containers that are cracked and have holes in them. And so that when he wouldn't do this anyway, but when He would pour out His blessing on us, it would just run right through us so that we couldn't contain it. How many of you know that He's molding us into vessels of honor? He's transforming us into vessels of honor that are fit for His use. It's a place of transformation. That's why James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Or count the wilderness joy. Count it joy. I want us to leave here tonight looking at the wilderness season a different way. Excited. I'm so excited. There is so much that can be done here and it's God is doing here and I just want to participate with it. I count it joy, God. I count it joy, God. I count it joy, God, that there's isolation. I count it joy, God, that I'm being tested. How can you count it joy when the Bible says this, that for the joy that was set before Jesus, He endured the cross. He counted it joy. There was joy before Him. He was able to get through it. He was able to walk through it because He knew what the destination looked like. And it was joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this. Everybody say, I'm going to know something. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. The wilderness season is working. It's working in my life. It's working in my life if I will participate with it. It's working patience, but let it. How many of you know we can let it or not let it? We can let it or not let it. But let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. We have to let it work. We have to let it work. We have to let it work. Oh God, we thank You for that. I believe, I've never seen this scripture in the Bible before. And I just believe that it's a prophetic word over some of your lives. And if it's for you, I just want you to grab a hold of it tonight. And we're going to close in worship. We got about 2 minutes. But Hosea 2:15. I don't know if I put it on there. Yes. This is such a powerful verse. I will return her vineyard to her. And I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. I believe the Lord said that this is a prophetic word over some people's lives. Just close your eyes tonight over some people's lives. God said that He will transform your valley, your wilderness. He's going to transform it, the valley of trouble, into a gateway of hope. What we saw as trouble, God says it's being transformed into a gateway that we're going to walk through of hope and life. Father, we thank You, God. We thank You that we can trust You. Let's stand to our feet, if you don't mind. Let's stand to our feet. I'm excited about what God is able to do in our lives in the wilderness. I'm going to embrace it. God, let's just tell Him, we're going to embrace Your hand. We're going to embrace what You're doing. We're going to embrace Your path. Oh God, God, we thank You, God, that You're going to take our valley of trouble and You're going to transform it into a gateway of hope. A gateway of hope. It may look like trouble to everybody else, but to You, God, it's just an opportunity to open a gateway into a new season in our life. A new season. A new season. We're going to close in worship tonight. If you don't mind bringing the lights, changing the lights a little bit, just kind of to a worship setting. What I want you to do tonight is if you feel like, now here's the thing about seasons, you know, you're not always in one. Everybody's not in the same one. You may not be in a wilderness season right now. You might have grapes galore. Praise God. Give me some of them too. But You know, we've either been through some wilderness season, we might be in a wilderness season, or got some good news for you, there's some more around the corner. But if you specifically find yourself tonight in a season where it's been a hard season, and you recognize that you've been in a wilderness season, and you just want to surrender to the Master, you want to surrender to the process, you want Him to have His way, the testing and the teaching and the correcting, and all of the things that He wants to impart to you during this worship song, let this be a time of intimacy. How many of you know this stuff don't, this is not religion, this is all relationship. This is relationship with Jesus. This is relationship with the Father. We need to hear Him. We need to sit at His feet. We need to talk to Him, and we need to listen to Him. We need to hear His voice. But if you just particularly want to make a commitment tonight and say, Father, I trust You in this season, and I surrender to You.